Many people think that a successful life is avoiding pain. But a truly successful life is learning to respond to pain with faith. Your life began with pain, and it's been filled with challenges and changes ever since. In Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, he commends them for enduring great pressure and persecution. They're not running from their trials, they're standing strong. Learn from their example in a lesson called When Justice Arrives.
For most of the world today, a successful life is learning how to avoid pain. Well, I personally believe that a successful life is learning how to respond to pain, allowing the Lord to make you deeper, more dependent on Him through painful circumstances in life. See, the truth is, your life actually began with pain and discomfort, didn't it? Have you ever thought about the fact that, well, there you were living in a safe and secure little world. You were cushioned in a warm place where you were automatically fed. A murmuring heartbeat nearby assured you that life was nothing but wonderful. Well, then one day you felt a tug and then another, and the walls of your little world seemed to be falling in on you, and those soft cushions were now crushing you and pushing you. And for the first time in your life, you felt pain. Then there was more pressure, almost too intense to bear. Your head was being squeezed, and you were pushed harder and harder downward. You began to hear the sounds of crying and talking. Louder and louder it grew, and your world was changing. In fact, your world was collapsing. You thought the end was near. Then suddenly, you saw a piercing, blinding light, and cold hands pulled at you. Everything grew loud, colder. You shivered, too afraid to breathe. But then you felt a painful slap on your bottom, and you responded with your very first cry of anguish while you heard everyone around you begin to cheer. Well, congratulations. You've just been born. Well, let me tell you, beloved, your life from that point to this one has included chapter after chapter of challenges, changes, pain, pressure, and suffering. Well, today as we set sail into Paul's second letter to the believers in the Thessalonian church, right from the start, Paul commends them for enduring great pressure, great persecution. His opening words are almost identical to his greeting back in 1 Thessalonians. Paul includes Silvanus here, or Silas, and Timothy in his introduction, and he reminds the church here that the church belongs to God. He writes here in verse 1, "To the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul follows this up in verse 3 by commending them. He writes, "Your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." Now, Paul even admits here that he's been boasting about them to other churches. Why? Well, he answers that in verse 4. "For your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring." See, these suffering believers were remaining steadfast. Steadfastness is an interesting compound word in the original language. It means remaining under or bearing up under difficulty. In other words, they were holding up under intense pressure. We might even say today that they were hanging on to their trust in God in the midst of persecution. They were remaining under it rather than trying to escape from it. Have you noticed, beloved, the different ways we can respond to painful circumstances? Well, for one, we can be quick to complain to the Lord, maybe even blame Him for our suffering. Or we might diligently pray that God will deliver us, only to despair or become bitter if relief doesn't arrive. Or we can respond with trust, remembering that nothing can reach us unless it filters through the hand, the fingers, as it were, of God. No wonder Paul was using the Thessalonians as a testimony to the other churches, because they were trusting God. Instead of escaping or trying to run away, they were standing strong. Instead of grumbling, they were enduring as they continued to walk with God. Now, what Paul does next is describe God's future judgment for these persecutors of the church. For them, well, judgment's coming. For the believer, justice is coming. Paul writes here in verse 6, God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to grant relief to you who are afflicted. That is when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Oh, let me tell you, beloved, eternal justice is going to come riding in one day. It might look like people are getting away with evil. It might look like God-hating, Christian-persecuting countries are getting away with it. But Paul effectively reminds them of that old saying, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. See, every tormentor one day of Christians will discover that they've been persecuting none other than the Lord Jesus. I think of Richard Wurmbrand, who suffered through 14 years of terrible torture while imprisoned for his faith in the communist country of Romania many years ago. He was eventually released, and he and his wife went on to create a global ministry to persecuted Christians. Now, having suffered greatly for his faith, his perspective was unique. He wrote it this way, I tremble because of the sufferings of those persecuted, but I tremble thinking about the eternal destiny of those who tortured them. Well, let me tell you, that sounds a lot like the Apostle Paul to this church in Thessalonica. God's justice is going to bring eternal wrath upon the oppressors, but eternal relief upon believers. Now, when will these wheels of justice begin to grind? Well, the final judgment takes place at the end of the millennial kingdom, before what's called the Great White Throne in Revelation chapter 20. But Paul is referring to an earlier moment of justice, an earlier judgment here in verse 7. When the Lord Jesus, he writes, is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now, with this particular text, Paul is not describing the end of the millennial kingdom or even Jesus' appearance in the clouds when he comes to rapture his church. This is a description of the Lord's return to earth at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. After 7 years of divine judgments upon the unbelieving world, Jesus is going to return with the redeemed to planet Earth and set up his kingdom. There's going to be a judgment of everyone who refused to believe the gospel. And Paul adds here that the Lord will be accompanied by his mighty angels. This is a reference to the inescapable justice that's going to be carried out against those, Paul writes here, who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. By the way, they don't know God in this context because they refuse to follow God. Now, you might wonder about this kind of encouragement. I mean, where the suffering believer is reminded that persecutors are going to, you know, pay for it one day. That might not sound all that gracious or spiritual to you. But let me tell you, if you're suffering today at the hands of a corrupt government, if you're being persecuted right now by people who mock Christianity, by people who are attempting to harm you or other believers, if you're living in a wicked culture where everything is turned upside down, where corruption is on the throne and truth has been thrown out in the gutter, so to speak, well, then let me tell you, it's very encouraging to know that one day the Lord is going to set everything right side up. One day he's going to return, deliver judgment against those who mocked his gospel and persecuted his children. But those who trusted Christ, well, one day they're going to be joyously welcomed into the kingdom that Christ sets up on earth. Now, suffering for Christ will never then be meaningless. We can endure, and this is the point here, because we know that God is in control. Now, here in verse 9, Paul describes the judgment of the unbeliever as being sent away from the presence of the Lord. And by the way, that's the greatest tragedy of all, sent away from the presence of the Lord. But for believers, Paul wrote back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, we will always be with the Lord. Now, Paul pulls a page out of his prayer journal, and he writes here in verse 11, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. Now, Paul's prayer here is not for their deliverance from suffering. He's praying for their development through suffering, as they prove not that they deserve to be saved, but that they are remaining steadfast. Why? Because they believe that God is worth following to the very end. Well, with that, we're out of time. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. The message of 2 Thessalonians 1 is this: your suffering is not meaningless. You can endure with the assurance that God is in control. Justice will arrive when Jesus returns. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians is not for deliverance from suffering, but for their development through it. You, too, are called to stand strong, knowing that one day everything will be set right. Are you seeking a deeper understanding of the Bible? Do you yearn to explore the richness of God's Word? Then I invite you to visit wisdomonline.org. Our website is your gateway to a treasure trove of resources, all designed to nourish your soul and equip you for a life rooted in faith. At the heart of it all is Stephen's extensive Bible teaching ministry, spanning over four decades. You'll find hundreds of sermons, carefully organized by book of the Bible. They're ready for you to explore at your own pace. Did you miss a recent broadcast? No problem. You can catch up on the latest lessons right on our homepage. We also archive previous broadcasts, allowing you to revisit favorite teachings or delve into topics that you might have missed. It's like having a personal Bible study library at your fingertips. Choose to listen or read, whatever suits your learning style. And the best part? Most of this incredible content is available to you absolutely free. So, visit wisdomonline.org today. And then join us next time to continue your wisdom journey.